This is the MMA Takes Podcast. MMA Takes Podcast. With your host, Brian Petrie.
Right here. Right here. I'm your host. What's up with the what's up? We got motherfucking picks to give a little late in the week. Want to give it out early, but you guys know I got some stuff going on. So that's what it is. I've been busy, busy boy, busy sweating my balls off as well. It is hot in Cincinnati. Beautiful Cincinnati is very, very hot. However, get some good sweat in. Being a bigger guy, believe it or not, I don't sweat like a ton. My armpits don't sweat. I've never had BO. I mean, I know it's weird. I have no body hair whatsoever, so maybe that has something to do with it. I can't fucking grow hair anywhere besides my head. But never really had BO, right? And so sometimes a good sweat's good. Sometimes a good sweat's really, or like not a good sweat. Sometimes a sweat's bad where you're like fucking dehydrated. Today was a good sweat. Yesterday felt like, they're wringing me out like a fucking washcloth as my other father-in-law, RMP, my one. I have two father-in-laws. Obviously, my mother-in-law got remarried, but my other father-in-law, he says, washcloth. That's what I would get wrung out as. But we are here to talk about fights. June 25th, UFC fight night. They're back in the Apex, which kind of sucks because Austin was fucking incredible. The fights were amazing. The fans were amazing. Back in the Apex, but, we got my boy Chris Curtis fighting. We got, I think there's some real spots here. I feel like I'm kind of playing it safe a little bit. We'll kind of go over each little spot here, but I feel like being like kind of like I'm a little bit of a bitch, not taking too many risks, going a little chalky here, but we'll go over some plays. I'll dive into some props. I got DraftKings pulled up here. And babes, we're going to make it happen here. Is there something else I want to talk about on the top of the show? I mean, listen, first and foremost, thank you for everyone that reached out to me via Twitter. I got a lot of messages on Instagram about the passing of my father-in-law and giving me some good thoughts and positive vibes and all that stuff. That's amazing. Thank you so much. I can't believe an idiot like me who has a podcast who people listen to about a passion of mine, about something that I'm obsessed with, and people listen to it and seem to like it, are sending me, and I've never met these people, and they're sending me well wishes and sending my wife well wishes. I mean, that's amazing. So every asshole you get on Twitter and Instagram, you're going to meet five good people. That's why I'm a fan of social media, because there's a lot of good people out there. And a lot of you guys reached out about that, and that is incredible. So thank you. One other thing I want to touch base on, because I actually got a lot of messages about this. So on the Anik and Florian podcast, John Anik offered to send me to Vegas with his brother to do kind of a Radio Row thing because it's International Fight Week, and then we'll get the tickets to his show. I tried to get tickets to the UFC 276 pay-per-view on the July 2nd. Everyone like was like, dude, what the fuck? Because I said I'd look into it, right? Well, first off, I got a job. I got kids. I'm a husband. My father-in-law just died. Things are going on, okay? I can't just drop everything and go to Vegas. Even though my wife, who's incredible, was like, yeah, you're good to go. But obviously, I was talking to John. I was trying to figure out the things, and it's not going to happen for numerous reasons. But, I will be there soon enough. So people can stop messaging me going, hey, if you're not excited about John's tickets, give them to me or whatever the fuck you guys are saying. I was playing it cool, baby. You know what I mean? You're playing it cool a little bit, right? Of course, if this would have happened, I would have got off and I would have went and had an amazing time. But I'm playing it cool. My man, you ever played cool around a chick before? You know what I mean? I played cool, baby. So I think that's it. I think you guys are done hearing my spiel. I'll get a comment on the YouTube thing, like, put timestamps in, quicker to the picks. It's a 40-minute show. Can I get a little bit off my chest, guys? First fight of the night, Junyoon Frye, -250 versus Vanessa. This name always gets me. Demo Palopoulos. I'm from Cincinnati, and we have so many Greek people. That sounds like a Greek name. Hopefully I don't offend her if she's not Greek, but I should be able to fucking pronounce his name, and I cannot. Demo Palopoulos. Dimopoulos. I'm terrible. I was getting a lot of shit for how many mispronouncing the names I did on the Anakin Florian. I try to talk so quick that people don't notice it, but man, I am bad at it. And she is a Vanessa. There she is. I can pronounce Vanessa. She's plus 210. Vanessa coming off, I believe she was on the Contender Series. She lost, right? Wrong. Brian, you're so wrong. Oh, no, yeah. Hang on. Hang on. I'm right, motherfuckers. Lost to Corey McKenna, Contender Series. Didn't get the contract. Went out, fought Loopy. Lost a majority decision, very close fight. Got some wins, and then got invited back to UFC. Got one win. Got invited back to UFC. J.J. Aldrich lost the decision. Armbarred Silviana Gomez-Juarez, who just won last weekend. But a little tumultuous. Junior Fry, former champion outside the UFC. She's fought the who's who. Came in the UFC 0-2. Now she's 2-0 in her last two. So she's 2-2 in the UFC. That's how you say that. But Ashley Yoder, tough out. Gloria DiPaolo, who I think just got cut. Luma Lukabumi was a loss. And then Kay Hansen was a trying armbar, who I don't think is in the UFC as well. But I think Junior Fry maybe had some UFC jitters. Maybe wasn't prepared. She seems to be in better shape. She has a good grinding style. I think that's what's going to happen here in the Vanessa fight. I think she's going to take her down. I think she's just going to be better everywhere, be more cardio, be more fit. That's what the Brazilians, that's what the British say. Oh, he fit. He's fit. I can't do an English accent. He fit. What can I do an English accent? Tea, please. No, I can't do it. Fuck. Sorry for all my English listening fans. I butchered that. But fit is a word that a lot of English people use. And Junior Fry's just more fit. You know what I mean? And I think she's more well-rounded. I think she is going to be the better fighter here. I also, the line's wide. We all know my Achilles heel is women's MMA. So I will advise you now to go opposite. I just picked Junior Fry. Might as well gave her the death sentence. So maybe go with Vanessa here. So over 2.5, which I like, is a minus 230. And Junior Fry to win by decision is a minus 110. I think that's my play here. If I was going to go crazy and bad at it, probably going to be a pass for me. But if you need a spot, you're getting kind of pick 'em odds here at minus 110 for a decision win. I don't think Junior Fry is going to finish her, but, you know, I've been wrong before, and I'm wrong a lot, especially women's MMA, because it's a fucking my Achilles heel. But give me Junior Fry. Give me the vet. I like that she's kind of, you know, got her feet wet in the UFC, and she's ready to fucking rock and roll, baby. All right, next up, Mario Bautista. Mario. So a lot of New York people. I have family from New York. My mother's from New York. They don't pronounce it Mario. They pronounce it Mario. I'm not going to get into that discussion, but Mario Bautista versus Brian Kelleher. Bautista's a minus 165. Kelleher's a plus 140. This is a little bit shocking to me. Hold on. Need the podcast juice. Kelleher, I know, is coming off the really ugly loss over Umar. Got finished quickly in the first round. But before that, he really showed an evolution to his game. This was a guy who, you know, looked for a guillotine and could get out wrestled, boxed a little bit. His boxing's gotten better. His wrestling's gotten exponentially better. And his cardio's good. And he still has that guillotine. Mario Bautista comes in. He's a little bit highly touted when he comes into the UFC, right? He debuts against Corey Sandhagen. He's undefeated. Debuts against Corey Sandhagen. Looks good against Sandhagen. We all know Sandhagen's a beast. Looked good. Went on to win two fights there. Flying knockout over Miles John, which is a great win. Decision win over Jin Soo Song. Fucking nailed it. And then Trevin Jones, you know, five-star Jones, which was he was looking good in the first round, got caught in that second round there, and that's what's going to happen. Then J.P. Arrhenia decisioned. I just don't think he's had the level of competition that Brian Kelleher is. Brian Kelleher is 24-13. This guy's fucked up. Who's fucking who? Bautista, I think, is a flashy guy. I think he has some good jumping knees. I think he has a lot of good strikes. Never really seen him on the ground. Doesn't have a ton of submissions on his name. I like Kelleher to ground this fight. I like him to wrestle him down, and he's heavy on top. And Batista's faded in some fights as well, so we're really going to push his cardio. It comes from a great camp. I think they're going to have an idea of what he's going to do here. But when you're giving me plus 140 on a veteran that I think is pretty good against an unproven guy, up-and-comer who's 9-2, I'm going to take the 140. I'm the value. Not only that, I'm going to lock him up.
Dog lock.
Ooh, that was a little bit of a robot, boys. We're trying new things out here. I'm probably going to get Dog the Bounty Hunter soundbite back. I don't want to play his theme song anymore because I don't want to get copyrighted. So I'm trying to get something in the works of his, of a soundbite of him. I'm looking right now. I'm scouring the internet. But right now, we're going to get a little bit of a robot there. And Brian Kelleher is my dog lock at plus 140. I'm not taking a ton of dog shots. I'm going to be honest with you. And I really like Kelleher in this spot as the veteran. I think he's probably going to go decision win. He's going to have a heavy wrestling game plan. But Brian Kelleher by submission plus 450. I don't hate that either. He does have a good arm triangle choke. He does have a good guillotine. I like that. Batista by KO is at plus 350. I think the only win, way Batista wins is probably by KO. I don't see that happening. I mean, he can land some flashy shit for sure. I just see Kelleher just being a little too sturdy, a little too good. And for dog money, man, give me Kelleher. Give me the sub at 4-1 at plus 450. And give me the bag, baby. We're winning this fight. I'm confident. Let's go. Cody Durden, minus 105 versus JP Bays, minus 115. It is hard for me to talk about JP Bays because I feel bad for the guy. Wrong pipe. You ever heard wrong pipe? Woo, got a lot of pipes in that wrong pipe. Feel bad for the guy. I mean, he's a cuckold. He got cuckolded, you know? You know, the word cuck gets thrown around a lot. People don't know what it means. Cuckold is a guy that got cheated on. And he got cheated on and lost his wife to a giant Georgian, Roman Dolidze. And he's a tiny South African. That sucks, right? And I got to imagine, he hasn't looked great in the UFC. He's been dropped in almost every fight. He's that wrestling-based guy. Look good outside the UFC. Look good in the Contender Series somewhat. But he wants to get the fight to the ground. Cody Durden, I think, is a better wrestler than him. I think he's better jiu-jitsu than him. Cody coming off a kind of embarrassing loss over, goddamn, that young stud out of England. I can't fucking pronounce his name or remember. I remember his name. What's his name? Maybe I don't remember his name. Muhammad. Yeah, Muhammad Makhachev. So Cody's a little embarrassed here. I know Cody's not a great guy. You know, he said some shit. He keeps saying some shit. By the way, if you defended Tony Kelly, you came at me and defended Tony Kelly about like how I was like, oh, it's out of context. He's a good guy. Tony Kelly's a good guy. Go how see how he's acting after getting knocked out by Yanez. He said, oh, he don't want to see me again. He won't rematch me. Yeah, he ain't going to rematch you because he's ranked, bruh. Fuck you going to rematch you for? You know what I mean? The guy's a dirtbag, man. He's a dirtbag. Tell him I said it, too. I'm afraid of Tony Kelly. What, is he going to beat me up? Great. Okay, I'll get beat up. But guess what? He's a dirtbag. just being my dirtbag, I can't talk. I just think Cody's better everywhere, and I think JP, man, let me tell you something. I've handled breakups bad in my life. I'm a strong guy. I'm a strong-willed man. I got a good mental on me. I'm a confident young man. I'm not really that young anymore, but I've had a breakup in my life that fucked me up bad, right? Back in high school as a girl, whatever. I don't want to get into it. I'll start crying. but it messes with your mental. It really does. And JP just lost his wife to a teammate, yada, yada. I got to imagine, even though this was months ago, this is tough. This is tough on him. A guy who I think has struggled in the UFC already, fighting a guy that's a bad matchup. We're getting a minus 105 number. I'm going to hammer Cody Durden. JP's tough as all get out. Got dropped like 100 times his last fight. Good submission defense. It's good to be a decision win. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to even dive into props here. I like Cody straight up here. Cody Durden to win by decision is plus 225. So you're getting a plus money. But again, that's a little risky because he could finish it. He could catch him. He could whatever. You could same game parlay it. I just kind of like the money line at minus 105. I think that's a good number. Put a unit on it. You're getting a unit back or, you know, whatever. I know like a little less than a unit with the minus 105, but you see what I'm saying. But I like Durden in this spot based on, I think they match up well with each other. I think Cody's a little bit better. And then I think the mental's going to be kind of on his side as well. Poor JP Bays. Can we get a GoFundMe for JP Bays? Get him a new chick or something like that. You know, struck. I feel sad. Every time I see the guy, I'm sad for him. Highland Paiva, where are you at? Plus 120 versus Sergey Morozov. Minus 140. Classic Brazil versus, well, he's not Russian, but Uzbekistan? Is that what that flag is? No. Let me guess. Kazakhstan. Let's see what it is. I said Uzbekistan, and I went Kazakhstan. Let's go. So Sergey Morozov coming off a loss. He's 1-2 in the UFC. He's 1 win over Khalid Taha. But Douglas Silva, De Andrade, who's a big bowling ball muscle of a man, he was a big favorite in that fight, destroyed him in that first round. Silva Andrade comes out that second round and just puts it on Morozov and takes the dub. And Morozov, who outside the UFC, I thought he looked okay. Debuted against Umar, which, you know, Umar's good. Umar, babe. But other than that, you know, I just thought he was okay. I think it's defensively, I think he's a little bit liable. Takedowns are good. His ground game's good. But, you know, Hylian Paiva's a tricky guy. You know, he's 21-4. He's got a lot of wins. He's coming off an ugly loss. But he's beaten a lot of people. He's looked good. He's durable for the most part in there. Never really seen him go against a guy that's going to challenge his grappling, his jiu-jitsu, his wrestling. So this could be an interesting fight. I understand why he's a dog here. I like the dog shot. I'm going Paiva. Not overly confident like I am with Kelleher, but I am going to go Paiva. I just think, you know, he is going to be able to stop some takedowns and be able to get up. He's kind of a long guy. And usually longer guys are hard to get up. But I'm really interested to see what his ground game is. I mean, we've seen it a little bit here and there in some fights, but never like on display. And is he going to play guard? Is he going to want to work to his feet? I think he beats Sergey in stand up. I think his punching power is very good. I think he can tag him. I think his timing is good. His countering is good. And I think Sergey is just kind of like a bull in a china shop. He's going to march forward. He's going to be aggressive. And, you know, sometimes that's going to fucking bite you. But I like Paiva here. I mean, Sergey can come out and jump on him early like he did Silva Andrade. And we can be in some problems. But I like Paiva at plus 120. Worth a shot here. I like it by decision. Morozov, I mean, he could get finished. Paiva could catch him. You could look at a knockout. Knockout is probably a gorgeous number if I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. You know, I would love Paiva to submit him. I just don't know enough about his ground game here. Paiva by KO plus 400. Paiva by submission plus 1,000. 10-1 by submission. So Vegas, you know, they're like, this guy ain't submit nobody. We haven't seen it yet. How many submissions is his record? Right in front of me. I'll be embarrassed if he's got one in the UFC. I don't think he's got one in the UFC. Yeah, he's got majority knockouts, decision wins. He has his last fight before coming to the UFC was a submission win, round one. And then he's got a loss by submission. And that's one Kimura. A lot of these Brazilian fights are just wins, so they don't give a method, but back in 2014, a Kimura in round two, and then he had it just says submission win in round one, right before he got the Contender Series spot. So I have no idea what that was about, but give me Paiva the dog. Maybe avoid the props in that one just because we don't know. Knockout be interesting if Morozov gets a little fucking little eager, little aggressive, bite down the mouthpiece, you know, get boop, knock his teeth right out of his fucking head. TJ Brown. Arkansas Strong, TJ Brown, I know he left, but minus 200 versus, man, okay, here we go. Shaylon, Nurudam, Shaylon Nurudambiki. I think I fucking crushed it. I'm gonna go Shaylon. What's his nickname? His nickname is probably even harder to pronounce than his fucking name. Wolverine, nice nickname, Shaylon. So Shaylon, Chinese fighter, or is that Mongolian? Don't embarrass myself, Brian. Chinese, okay. He's 26, 28 years old. He's 36-10. I didn't even know Chinese MMA has been around this long. This guy's got 46 fucking fights. That's fucking crazy. 1-1 in the UFC, lost to Koulibaly, who's proven to be a tough dude. Beat Sean Soriano, who stinks. I remember picking Sean Soriano in that fight, just being embarrassing. And then just, I mean, WLF veteran all over the place. I mean, this guy's been only a pro since 2016. 46 fights in 6 years is a lot for this young man. A bunch of grappling bouts in there as well. He's going against TJ Brown. He's a 2-1 favorite. Man, I hate that 2-1 favorite on TJ Brown. TJ Brown is a good grappler. He's coming off a two-fight win streak here. One of the Contender Series. Lost his first two in the UFC. Needed a win. Grinds out Kai Kamaka. Again, a fight I didn't think he won. And then he beat Charles Rosa again. But, you know, who doesn't beat Charles Rosa at this point? TJ, you know, I think he's good, but I think he's just above average. I do not know enough about Shay Leon to know how great he is. He likes to fight. He likes to get the fight to the ground. Has plenty of submissions on his record, and obviously a ton of fights. You know, TJ Brown's a veteran too. He's 16-8. Good record on himself. Tough, durable guy. This is going to be a very even matchup. I think TJ Brown probably, on a technique-wise and a submission-wise, will have the edge on the ground. I just don't trust his cardio, and I don't trust that if Shay Leon starts creating scrambles and creating wrestling exchanges, that TJ's going to be able to keep up with that. And when you're giving me a decent price at plus 170 for Shay Leon and TJ Brown's a minus 200, and I just don't like TJ Brown that much, I'm going to go the underdog. I'm going to go Shay Leon here. Clearly, I am just going a dog shot here. This is a value boy play for sure. I had this fight written down as a 50-50 fight. Both these guys are good at the same thing. Their stand-ups are going to be kind of a wash. On the ground is where this fight's going to want to take place for both guys. And we'll see. I think TJ Brown probably has the better wrestling. And I think he's a little more polished, but I ain't paying 2-1 on that. I just ain't going to do it. So give me Shay Leon. I'm hoping I'm at least pronouncing that first name right. And let's go, right? Let's fucking go. Fight that I'm not. I don't have the best read on. I could pull Luca Fury and give you every single fucking outcome of how this fight can go down instead of putting my nuts on the table and giving you a winner. And then come fight night, be like, oh, I brought that up on my podcast. I got that right. No. I make picks. Nuts on the table picks. That's what I'm doing. There it is. Next up, Tefan Inchukwi. I used to be able to Inchukwi. Inchukwi, right? Tefan. Fuck you, Brian, with your marble mouth. Minus 115 versus Carlos Olberg. Minus 105. I'm surprised Carlos is on this card and not a week later on Izzy's card. Maybe they did that on purpose. Maybe since Izzy's already going to be in Vegas, let's go Carlos a week before. That way he doesn't distract me on fight night or whatever the case may be. It could be a smart move. But Carlos coming in here after a pretty good performance. I thought a lot of people hated on his performance. I thought he looked pretty good against Fabio Chiron. Everyone wanted him to just go out there and knock out Chiron because, you know, Chiron doesn't have the best chin in the world. And but he just outpointed him and boxed him up, used his length, used his athleticism. You know, he's 6'4", light heavyweight, tall, lanky guy. Just uses experience, uses kickboxing. Now, Tefan is a bowling ball here, right? Tefan went down to 185 for one fight, said, nah, not for me. Back up to 205. He's coming off a knockout loss, over Asmat Mrazikov. And a fight he was winning. But before that, he has a win over Mike Rodriguez and a decision loss over Junior Park. Before that, he's got a win over Jamie Pickett. And then he knocked out a lightweight Al Montalvo on the contender series. So, again, records and competition of who these guys fought are very low. And that's why it's a pick 'em odds. I'm going to go Carlos Olberg here. I'm not going to bury the lead. Don't want to spend too much time on this fight. The main card is going to be a little bit more juicier. I think Carlos is going to look exactly the same like he did against Chiron. I think Tefan has better kicks. I think he's faster. I think he has more power in his hands. More dangerous than Chiron is. So throwing a knockout number on Tefan is a great play, I think. Let me look that prop up. This is a good prop fight, I think, with it being so close. So I like Carlos Olberg by decision. That's plus 350. Him to win by knockout is actually plus 200. So Vegas is leaning for him to win by knockout. I see a decision happening here. I see, he was trying takedowns against Fabio Chiron, which was interesting too, trying to be well-rounded. But his biggest problem is in the Kennedy fight. I'm not even trying to pronounce his last name. Are you fucking kidding me? If I ain't got to pronounce his last name, I ain't going to fucking try it. In that fight, he just threw too much in the first round and blew himself out. I think, you know, he's a young fighter. He's only 4-1. He's learning. This fight, he's going to be a little more measured as well. Maybe he's going to pick his spots. Maybe that's what Vegas likes him at plus 200. I like him by decision. I think it's going to look a lot like the Chiron fight. He's just going to outpoint him, stay on the outside. Tefan is a big, powerful guy. Him by knockouts, plus 200. So Vegas is wise to it as well. Either way, I think, you know, that's obviously better numbers than straight up. If you like these guys straight up, you're going to get a nice little parlay piece with them. It's risky though. It means a pick 'em fight, but I like Carlos Olberg by decision. All right, main card time. I believe this is a 6-fight main card. If I can count right, it is kicking off my guy, Chris Curtis versus, Rodolfo Vieira. Chris Curtis minus 120 Rodolfo Vera plus 110. Mortal lock. So I didn't have to tell you Chris is my mortal lock, baby. A little echo there. Huh? Get a little sound effect season, this motherfucker. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. We'll figure something out. Anyway, let me take a sip of podcast juice. If you don't know, now you know. Chris and I are good friends. Haven't seen him in a while. He's been on the podcast before, very early supporter of the podcast. Episode first 10 episodes, I'd say, he was on. I went to his apartment and interviewed him this before he's in the UFC. And then since he's been in the UFC, or at least off the Contender Series, I had him on as well. That's on YouTube. Go check those out. Former training partner. I used to train with him. You know, just a little story time. I'm going to try to rifle through this. I already gave you my pick. It's Chris Curtis. He's my mortal lock. He's minus 130. Rodolfo Vieira is plus 110. Kenny Florey and I have a bet on this. Kenny took Vieira. I took Chris Curtis. Kenny's got to do his shoey. I got to do whatever I want Kenny wants with my hair. Okay. Chris Curtis, when you walk into an MMA gym, you don't know anybody. It's a little intimidating. Everyone kind of keeps himself. Everyone sizes you up. And Chris and another Chris, RIP, Chris Smith, Slaughterhouse, who I'm looking at right now above me, he'll always be in my studio with me. He passed away. Him and Chris, both Chris's, and Dom Steele as well, who's a former UFC fighter, they kind of approached me and was like, hey, you know, because I was similar. So I was a heavyweight, you know, to Chris. And Dom at that point was actually kind of was a heavyweight too. And they approached me like, hey, you got some decent, you know, hands. You want to start sparring? And those are the first guys I really sparred. And then we became buddies and stuff. And Chris was already a pro. They all were pros at that point. And Chris was like 4-0 as a pro. And we're getting them ready. And I remember watching him cut weight and just seeing this dedication and everything. And we got close. And then Chris died. And, you know, it is what it is. But I've always thought, you know, even friendship aside, I thought he's the most talented guy in the room. At the time, he was 4-5-0 as a pro. Or 4 or 5 fights in as a pro. And there's other guys in the in the gym that were in the UFC or Bellator. And I just always thought Chris, you know, was the guy next up. And he had a couple times where maybe the spotlight was on him that didn't go his way. And then he tried out for that Bellator reality show, dominate the guy in the first round, almost knocked him out, blew his knee out, and ended up losing that fight. He was a wrestler. And then the Contender Series hook kicks Sean Lowley, knocks him out. Doesn't get a contract because fucking Greg Hardy's on the show. Got to make room for Greg Hardy's fucking inflated salary. And finally, he's getting a shine in the UFC, knocking out Phil Hawes as a big underdog and knocking out Brendan Allen as an underdog. So now here we are. I love Chris. As a person, I'm never going to pick against him, right? So you obviously take my advice and my handicapping here, biasy, right? He's my mortal lock. He's going to be in the slime ball parlay. You know, I just, you know, I'm never going to pick against him, but to be honest, to cap him, to put the capper on, let's break down his game, right? I think he's very good stand up. I think he's some of the best boxing in the UFC. He's one of the best guys to touch the body. His biggest weakness in the past has been, he's been able to get taken down and controlled. Wrestlers have plagued him at times, and, guys who control him on the ground. He's only been submitted one time in his UFC career. And that was Tom Galicchio MMA career. That was Tom Galicchio a million years ago. Obviously, he hasn't fought anybody like Rodolfo Rivera, but Rivera's never fought anybody like Chris Curtis. Rivera, you know, this guy comes into the UFC. He gets Saraberg Safarov, where he almost lost. He had a huge cut on his fucking head. Or no, excuse me. I think that was the Oscar Bachota fight. Okay. One of those fights, he has a huge cut on his head, almost loses, gets a submission, right? Both those guys stink. Both those guys aren't in the UFC anymore. Then he gets Fluffy Hernandez, where he completely dominates the first round and completely gasses out and gets submitted, which is, for a guy that's in Jiu-Jitsu Hall of Fame, that's very embarrassing. He rebounds well. 5 months later, he's itching to get in there. You know, this guy's got pride, just a complete gamer, right? Gets in there against Dustin Stolfus, who is a ground guy as well, submits him in the third round, right? So he's coming off a win. But this guy's 32, ripped up, hasn't seen a weight that he hasn't like wanted to lift. You know, the guy's fucking ripped. You know, probably likes to take some Flintstone vitamins. Take that if what you will. But he's never fought a guy like Chris. I think Chris is a little undersized for 85. Rivera is going to come in, be beat up, right? Not that tall of a guy, but he's ripped. And I don't think his takedowns are that great. I don't think, and I think Chris is more athletic, more explosive. Being the undersized guy, he's going to be faster. And Chris knows how to pick his shots. And then Chris picks up his shots really well, doesn't rush anything, touch the body, touch the head, don't overload on anything, don't crash in with your punches. He picks Vera apart. He picks him apart and folds him later in the round. Chris only gets stronger as the round fight goes on. Vera has shown to gas out, even though he did show some good cardio in the Stolfus fight. If you're taking Dustin Stolfus down every single round and you're not getting him out of there to the third round, you ain't submitting Chris. I can tell you that right now. So give me Chris Curtis here. I love the number. It's coming down. He was a minus 155 when I did the Anakin Florian podcast. He's a minus 130 on DraftKings. And Chris Curtis by TKO is minus 105. By decisions, plus 1,000. I don't hate the decision victory here. I think he can avoid Oliveira's attacks. And I think he can avoid all his attacks. And he could and he can really just piece him up. And Vera could be tough and durable and then go to decision. So 10-1's a good shot. Vera, though, at plus 175. I love my boy, but that's a good price as well. Vera plus 175 by submission. I mean, the guy's legendary. I mean, you're getting plus number. I'm not going to shy away from a plus number. But give me Chris. Give me Mortal Lock. Give me the money. Give me everything. Let's go. Umar and Nurmagomedov versus Nate Maness. Umar, 1050, minus 1050. Woo! Nate Maness, plus 700. These are the picks I made on the Anakin Florian podcast, so you know who I'm picking. I like Umar, and I think he's special. And I hate that he's a 1050. I hate that he's getting this much respect where he's, his name's not Valentina Shevchenko. It's not Amanda Nunes a couple years ago. Like, what are we doing with these numbers, right? But Vegas and the odds makers know how fucking good this guy is. You know, he's that good. Nate Maness, 14-1, getting a little disrespected here. I will never, ever tell anybody not to take a shot at Nate Maness. I'm picking Umar. He's my send him home. I think he's going to sub Nate Maness. But I don't know how easy Nate's going to make it for him. Nate's a big dude at 135. He's tough. He's durable. He's got a good mental. He's not going to quit. He hits hard, even though his striking isn't the cleanest. He does hit hard. His wrestling's pretty good. And this is a big challenge for Umar. Umar, however, a lot of people, myself included, think he's very, very talented and think he's the next big thing at 135. I think if he runs through Nate Maness, you got to give him a ranked guy. You got to propel him up there because he's just going to keep running through people and we're going to keep getting these huge numbers. So I'm taking Umar. He's my send him home. Let me look at what the prop is. I haven't even looked at it yet. Hopefully it's a decent number. So Umar by submission is plus 100. That's going to be a lot better than plus 1050 or minus 1050. However, I will never discourage anybody to put 10, 20 bucks on a 7-1 underdog. 7-1, get 70 bucks on your 10, or double and get 140 or my math off, whatever, on a 20 spot. I don't mind that play at all because Nate Maness 14-1 is a good little play there. Just throw a little cheese on him because Umar is just too high. But I am big on him. I am big on him. Send him home. Submission plus 100. Let's go. This next fight, Thiago Moises minus 255 versus Chris Jos Yagos. I like Moises by decision, maybe even submission here. Yagos has proven to be a durable, tough dude. Thiago's just got to fight smart. He looked good a couple fights ago, then he's running into some brick walls. Joe Alvarez being one of them. He needs to fight smart. He needs to mix it up more. He needs to quit thinking he's just a striker. He's got good ground game. He needs to go out there and really implement that against Yagos. Yagos is going to want to get the fight to the ground as well. He likes smothering guys on top. I don't love the line at minus 255. I think Moises is a little bit chunky, a little bit high for me. This is going to probably be a pass for me, but I'm going to take Moises by decision. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets a submission there, but Chris Jos, again, has proven to be a pretty durable guy. I see this fight going decision over 2.5 for sure. So give me Thiago Moises. This next fight is an absolute fucking stinker. I have no idea why this is so high on the card. Josh Prezian plus 100. Alan Badeau, was he minus 120? Two of the worst heavyweights in the UFC. Badeau doesn't have a win. His wins outside the UFC are kind of a joke. Josh Parisian coming from Contender Series, coming from they've given this guy every chance. Contender Series, Ultimate Fighter. He didn't win any of them. Now he's in the UFC. He's 14-5. That's how bad they need heavyweights. I'm going Parisian here. I don't really want to talk too much about this fight. I'll go TKO Parisian. I know Alan Badeau looked okay his last fight. Didn't just roll over and quit, but man, I really don't like this fight. This should be the first fight of the night. If we're being honest here, heavyweights for some reason is like getting the shine. Josh Parisian by TKO plus 350. There's your bet. There's your play. If you want to do this, you got to follow my guy, Christian at that play. BZ. Am I saying this fucking thumb thing right? I don't know what must be a nickname. I'm not in on it, but he is the king of middling heavyweights. Two real stinkers at heavyweight. He's the fucking king. I predicted him. So Gil, give him a follow. Because he'll tell you who's gonna win. He'll predict the future. All right, co-main event, Neil Magny versus Shavkat Rakhmonov. Again, I gave this pick on the Kennedy Florian and John Anik. Oh, I switched it, huh? Anik and Florian. Listen, I saw Magny live, and Kenny broke it down perfectly. There's times where he's in the cage where he looks a little distracted. He looks like the game plan just, he doesn't know what he wants to do. That's a wrong place to be against Rakhmonov. I think Magny has fought the who's who, and he's doing the old veteran thing, like, oh, he hasn't fought anybody yet. Wait till he gets into me, you know, and it's like Rakhmonov is rock solid, is what shit is. What's his nickname? Because if it's not rock solid, I'm going to be fucking devastated. Nomad, damn. Why not the wolf? I know you got boars with Chimaya, but he wears that wolf hat. Anyway, I think Rakhmonov's a real deal. He came in right around the same time as Chimaya. I have my eye on both these guys. Obviously, Chimaya went to the fucking moon. This guy's just steadily winning. He's good everywhere. He's defensive liable. His cardio's good. His power's there. His length is there. You know, timing, speed, strength, submissions, everything. He's nasty in there. He wants to get you out of there. I don't know if he, you know, well, you know what? I have it written down finish here. So, yeah, I'm going to trust my gut. I think he's going to finish Neil Magny. Neil Magny's been susceptible to submissions in the past. He's been TKO before. His chin has been tested. Has been rocked before. I think if Rakhmonov bulldozes and runs through Neil Magny, who's ranked number 11, clearly Rakhmonov gets that 11 spot. And it's just up, 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 up. I mean, this is going to be a guy not a lot of people want to fight at 170. I love to see a Rakhmonov-Sean Brady fight in the future. But get through Neil Magny. By the way, Neil Magny plus 320, Rakhmonov minus 350. So playing Rakhmonov, I mean, this is a guy that you probably would want to play in a parlay, which I'm doing, spoiler alert. And real main event. I love this main event. Two up-and-coming 55ers. Maybe a ton of people don't know. There's not like a ton of name recognition, maybe from like the count. I don't want to say the C word. And casual fans out there. Armand Tsarukyan. I think I pronounced his name right. Oh, no. Fuck, Brian, you missed it. Okay. Armand Tsarukyan. I had it. Armand Tsarukyan. Tsarukyan. God damn it, Brian. You're so stupid. Armand versus Matheus Gamrot. Armand is a minus 250. Gamrot is a plus 235. Now, Kenny got the pick first. I was going to go opposite whatever he said. I was very 50-50 on this fight. I like Armand a lot. I said on these airwaves that I would never pick against Armand after what he did against Alvarez. Because I was on the Alvarez side. I thought Alvarez had the value. He looked incredible. Busted him up, cut him up. No fear of submissions, right? Armand looked great. My only pause, my pick is Armand, by the way. I already gave that up. My pick is Armand. My only pause is the 5-round fight. Gamrot was a champion outside the UFC. He's 20-1. Has that weird split decision loss over Goran, which, you know, a lot of people might have thought he won. Didn't look himself. He's been on a roll in the UFC lately. I think the kid is special. I think he moved American top team full time now. Has looked great outside the UFC. Like I said, former champion. He used to go 5 rounds. Cardio on point. Armand debuted in the UFC against Islam. Gave him a fit. This kid might be the next big thing. Everyone said that after a loss. So this is a very interesting fight. I think the value's on the Gamrot side. And I think the youth in the better prospect is in the Armand side. And I'm so happy that they're fighting because we're going to figure it out. I see a lot of people taking Gamrot, and that makes sense because that number is fucking beautiful. I'm rocking with Armand here, minus 250. I think he's a stud. All right, so that's it. Let me wrap up everything here, give you the slime ball. Send him home as Umar. Chris Curtis is my mortal lock, and my dog lock is Brian Kelleher. Let me dig up this slime ball. I'm ill prepared. So obviously, slime ball number one, we all know, we all love it, Chris Curtis. Slime ball number two, Shavkat Rachmaninoff. And slime ball number three is going to be Armand Sakarian +201. Chris Curtis, shebang, Shavkat Rachmaninoff, shaboink, Armand Sakarian. Yes, 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 baby. +201, 2-1 on your money. Give him multiple units. Give it 100 units. We're winning this week. How does that lose? I don't know. If you're unsure, I don't know what to tell you. I had nothing. I ran out of steam on that one, okay? My podcast juice is gone. All right, that's it. That's the show. If you want a t-shirt, I need to come up with some new t-shirts. I literally have writer's block with his t-shirts. I have the same ones I have up. Maybe I'm going to do a what's up with a what's up, even though I didn't come up with that. I know I stole it from somebody, either someone local or it was from a TV show or movie. I stole that. But maybe I still can make a t-shirt out of it, because I do get a lot of DMs, people saying what's up with the what's up, because I do start a lot of podcasts with that. But if you want a shirt, it'll be in the description of this YouTube video. So go buy a shirt. Follow me on Twitter at Brian Petrie MMA. And then at MMA Takes Podcast on obviously YouTube, which you're watching this on right now, which you're getting the gun show right there. If you're listening to audio, go with YouTube, MMA Takes Podcast on YouTube, get the gun show. And then MMA Takes Podcast on IG as well, which again, I struggle with 100 times. I'm sorry. That's it. That's the show. I love you guys. Good luck betting this weekend. Let's fucking go.
Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Some dicks with our man Brian Petrie.